Johnson. Oh, going for the championship, that ain't coming close. This might require taking notes, homie, listen close. Serendipity when you know, you the one who chose. We going past the end zone, crushing every goal. I feel it in my enzymes, in my chromosomes. If you ain't come outside to go hard, then go back home. I'm in my zone, if it ain't greatest, I'm better left alone. This for the world, put what we speaking on speakerphone. Yeah, Wills, let them know what we be on. Serendipity, man, tune in.
What's going on, good people? Welcome to Serendipity. I'm Inky Johnson here with my brother.
I'm Okfanoos. What's happening, good people? Glad that you guys could join us today for another riveting conversation, we hope.
Yes, indeed. How you feeling, Oak?
I feel heavy, boss.
Yeah.
Yet, even in the midst of the heaviness, I feel I have a sense of gratitude that is like no other because I get the opportunity to come and do this with you. I don't have to do it. You know what I'm saying? I get the opportunity to go and experience the people that I experience every day at my quote unquote job. I wouldn't call it a job. It just, you know, in terms of the young people and my colleagues, shout out to Kip Wilson, Park Academy over there on Bankhead.
Bankhead.
They call it Hollowell, but
Bankhead.
You know.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. Somebody called me the other day. They was trying to get somewhere and they said, I'm on Donald Lee Hollowell. I said, boy, you on Bankhead.
You remember when you said Overlook?
Yes, sir. Overlook Atlanta, yes, right sir. Off Bankhead.
Yeah. Yeah, but shout out to those great people over there. Mr. Mathis, Ms. Daughtry, Ms. Baylor. All of the math teachers and whatnot. So I'm just grateful, man.
No doubt.
Just
no
grateful. Doubt.
Picking it up, man. But you know how we start, man, with a quote card from Nee Sugar Boo. It reads, forgive and give as if it was your last opportunity. Love like there's no tomorrow, and if tomorrow come, love again. Forgive and give as if it's your last opportunity. Love like there's no tomorrow, and if tomorrow come, love again.
Yes, sir. That second part, the second or third word where it says, did it say forgive?
Yes, sir. There you go.
Where the first word, forgive. I think it's easy for us to give, mm-hmm. right? We feel good when we give.
Yes, sir.
Giving makes the heart feels good. Mm-hmm. Like you feel like you're alive. You feel like you're worth something. You feel like you're, you know, when you contributing to someone else's life, right? Mm-hmm. The hard part is to forgive.
Yeah.
When you feel like someone has crossed you or done you wrong,
yes, sir. Right?
The thing is, can you accept their failings
mm-hmm.
and still love again?
Mm.
People say all the time, well, I forgive, but I won't forget.
Yeah.
Right? Then I don't know if you've forgiven.
Right.
Because you're trying to control the moment.
Mm.
You're trying to put a barrier around your heart or you're trying to put up walls around your heart. If you're really going to forgive, and you know what else ain't? Most people don't forgive themselves for their failings.
Right. That's it.
Forgiveness, one's ability to accept,
mm-hmm.
not make excuses for, accept one's own failings and accept the failings of others. And then seek healing when those failings produce hate.
Mm.
Not hate, hurt, I'm sorry. One's ability to accept one's own failings, to accept the failings of others, and to seek healing when those failings produce hurt.
Mm.
Most of us walk around trying not to be hurt.
Right.
We walk and we deal in situations. Right? What is the safest space for me?
Mm.
Because if I'm in a safe space, I won't be hurt.
Yeah.
We run from hurt. That's why cats don't take the last shot.
Mm. Mm.
That's why a quarterback won't pull the trigger because it might result in an interception.
Mm.
That's why a cat plays 7 yards off at cornerback because he don't want to get beat. Mm. So he'll give up the 5 yard, 10 yard, 15 yard pass.
Talk about it.
Because we walk around, we deal every aspect of our lives trying not to be hurt.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Rather than running towards what's going to make me happy, what's going to bring me joy. And in the midst of that, sometimes I'm going to be hurt.
Definitely.
Get up, brush yourself off. Let's do it again.
Yes, sir.
But the brushing yourself off part is the seeking healing.
Yeah. Got you.
That's it.
I got you.
You know, like Lamar in the championship game gave his all, whatever, and really even Zay Flowers gave their all, made some mistakes, whatever, however, and they're hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
But they were like, as Teddy Roosevelt said, they got in the arena.
That's it.
Most people want to sit in the stands.
Never make it to the arena.
They want to sit and then they can criticize. Or they can applaud. But they would never experience the exhilaration of succeeding at something, putting it all on the line. So they live a life of marginalism. As opposed to living a life of either I'm gonna be hurt and I'm gonna have to pick myself up, or I'm gonna live a life where I have the ability and have the opportunity to experience exhilaration to the nth power.
Picking it up.
So the ability to forgive, or really what I'm saying is, we have to walk in a way that we are not afraid to be hurt.
Yes, sir. I got you. Forgiveness is one of the most complicated, comprehensive, yet freeing things at the same time. And what I mean by that is one of my greatest decisions as a man, as a father, as a husband, as a brother, as a servant, was forgiving my father.
Yes, sir. Raul, come on, talk now.
That's one of the greatest decisions I've ever made. And the ROI, as we say in business, return on investment on that action has been tenfold.
Yeah.
Right? It hasn't only impacted me. It's impacted my children, my wife. But it was hard getting to that point. And to be honest with you, Oak, at times I didn't even know why it was hard. But when I did it, you know, you would hear people say things like, sometimes when you're forgiving a person, it's not only for that person. Sometimes the forgiveness is for you, right? The bondage, the mentality, the spirit, like that you carry around every single day. Sometimes you forgiven, it ain't about the person. It's about you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right? Because of what it does to you.
Yep.
Oftentimes you thinking you've forgiven a person because it's about that person. Sometimes it's about you, right? Things you need to let go, things you need to get past. But I love it when it says love like there's no tomorrow. Man, when I said to people, one of the most underrated blessings is leaving our house and making it back home every single day. It sounded cute and it sounded like, oh, that's a cool quote. But bro, it's people that leave their cribs every single day and they don't make it back home. Like when they kiss their children in the morning, send them to school, they don't see them when they come back, right? And so when it says love like there's no tomorrow, like that's a real statement that we take for granted because we just think people are gonna be there. We just think things are gonna be there. And so when you talk to forgiveness and love, I think it's interconnected in a weird way because when you're forgiven, there's a certain aspect of love that's interconnected to the forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, you wouldn't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so definitely, man, I'm with you.
So when you forgive, you open the door up to receive love. You open the window up to give love.
Right, sir.
That's why really forgiveness is really all about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pops was still living his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a burden to carry. And until, you know, he decided to unburden himself. That's a him issue, right? The you issue is once you decided that you were going to forgive, then that broadened your horizon. That increased your capacity.
Definitely.
The capacity for now for you to love Lil Ink even more, Jada even more, Allison even more, you know, your wife, your kids, even the relationship with your sister and your family members, your mom, it increased everything. when you decided to forgive.
No doubt.
Right? There's this book, and I'm going to plug it because, hey, that's my guy, my mentor. Mm-hmm. There's a book called Don't Cry For Me.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Dr. Daniel Black.
Don't Cry For Me. And it is about an elder who is writing a letter. He's on his, you know, he knows he's about to transition. And he's writing an elder to his son, a letter to his son. And they've been estranged for years. But it was poignant. It was vulnerable. He told a story. He told a story of who he was as a man and not necessarily who he was as a father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you and me and anyone else, when you're looking at your elders or your parents, you're looking at them through the lens of what they are to you.
Right.
Forgiveness, when you're really walking in forgiveness, you look at them who they are to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The man that your father is, right. The woman that your mother is.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them mistakes? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? So it's almost like it's hard to forgive someone when you put them on a pedestal.
Mm.
Because you see them as in their relationship to you, as opposed to seeing them in their relationship to themselves.
Because picking it up.
Your son and daughter, they don't understand and know the struggle that you may have about whatever.
Right.
They were not there in Neyland Stadium that night. Right?
Right.
They were not on the road with you when you were driving to do your first speaking engagement.
Right.
They were not there when your wife was like, what are you doing? Coming back with this cup. And you know what you had to experience as a man.
Right.
So what I'm saying is anybody in your life that you really love and care about, think about them outside of a self-referential standpoint and think about them from a them referential standpoint.
Mm.
What must they be going through? What must they be feeling?
Mm.
And then move accordingly. That's compassion and that's empathy.
Ooh, boy. Man, I love it. That's hard, yeah.
Yeah, because we're conditioned to be self-referential.
Yeah.
We're conditioned to think from our perspective first,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what, and it's a little easier with, you know, like your spouse or someone that you're very close to that you see every day and you kind of see their struggles and you kind of see their excitement and you see how they move.
Yes, sir.
But what about your partner that you haven't talked to in 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
And in those 3 months, you don't think about them up sitting at the edge of the bed crying or trying to figure it out or even contemplating taking their life.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Or sitting at the edge of the bed like, yes, I'm winning. Boom. You know, it's not, yeah. This is not just negative and it could be positive. They could
Absolutely.
Be winning.
Definitely.
And they could be losing. Yet the objective here, what I'm saying, is get outside of yourself
mm-hmm.
and think about someone else's life and how they're living for themselves.
Absolutely.
Now we're talking about that is what compassion is.
Yeah.
That is what empathy is.
Yes, sir. You got to do some real work, man, like to just wire the thought process to think that way because you live in a world to where at times it's survival of the fittest. Like, that's how cats really operate. But I want to talk about this thing called improvement. Right? I came across a quote that says, if you think you have room to grow, you do and you will. If you think you're as good as you can be, you're right, you won't get any better. If you think you have room to grow, you do and you will. If you think you're as good as you can be, you're right. And you won't get any better. Everybody has room to improve. So I want to say this. So one of the things that I used to talk about with my accountability group often was just day one mentality, right? And so I spoke to a group earlier, and I mentioned it during my presentation, and then an individual in a Q&A session said, hey, Ian, can you dive into that day one mentality? And I said, man, when you first start something on day one, I always think about the story that my father tells when he first took me to practice. Mm-hmm. Like his first time taking me to practice, right? As a little boy. As soon as we get by the field, I stop, he stop, we look at each other, I pop the door open, I run all the way to the football field where the coaches were. I sprint it, pass in hand, helmet, shoulder pass, I'm running, right? Sprint to get to the coach, right? I said, in that moment, it was pure excitement, right? It was pure, like, I'm talking about exhilarate, I'm ready, right? That was day one for me as a young person. I said, but when I think about day one mentality, if I could put a term on it, the term would be humility. Because when you humble, you always feel as if you can become better at whatever it is that you're doing, right? No matter how great you are, no matter how good things have went, when you're humble, you always feel as if I can do this a little bit better. Or you show up with the mentality that you're open to doing things in a better way. You don't never show up and speak in terms of, oh, we did that already, mm-hmm. right? Already accomplished that. Right? Day one mentality and energy. When I show up, I'm trying to improve every single day. That doesn't mean errors. That doesn't mean opposition. That doesn't mean perfection. Right? That means every single day I'm showing up and I'm trying to pursue the quest of becoming better. Talk about it, Oak.
Better is always better than best.
Better is always better.
Better is always better than best. Because when you get to be the best, or when you are the best, you have a mentality, or if you feel like you're the best, you have a mentality that you can't get better. Mm. But if you have the mentality of better is always better than best, then there's no end to this. There's Sure. always room to grow, whether vertically or horizontally.
Absolutely.
Right? So, but let me talk about what prohibits us from having that mentality of better is always better than best. Comfort.
Yes, sir.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Complacency.
Sometimes, see, we may be in a healing process. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is, so my 10th grade year, my high school coach took another job. So going into my 11th grade year. And because I didn't have the capacity or the wherewithal to know that I really was deeply hurt by this, mm-hmm. by him leaving, because he was more than a coach to me. Mm. Coach Ronald Graham was, outside of my dad, Elijah Mitchell, he was everything to me.
Sir.
And I was happy for him to go, but still, he was gone from me.
You're losing your guy.
And so my capacity to grow and become a better football player waned my junior year because I was still, looking back on it, I was still in the grieving process. As a whole team, we were still in the grieving process. My junior year was our most talented team, right? But it was our least successful team in my 4 years.
Wow.
My senior year was probably our least talented team. Mm-hmm. But we had the best record because we had gotten over the grief of coach being gone, meaning we were able to open our hearts and become humble and be open to growing and changing and getting better as young men.
Yeah.
It was like the hurt stagnates you. So you got to be able to just call that for what it is in the moment. It's not necessarily a lack of humility. You're just in the midst of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you can press through the hurt, again, what we're talking about in terms of forgiveness, if you can forgive yourself, then you have the capacity to have humility to get better. That makes sense.
Definitely. I'm definitely picking it up, man. You know, we be texting sometimes, like we be texting little words and stuff to each other, you know, throughout the day when we text each other stuff. And Opie be talking about pushing the culture forward through language. And I got a word for us, man. Kaizen.
Kaizen.
Kaizen. Kaizen. Kaizen.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Japanese sir. Business philosophy. Continual improvement. Always finding something to work on. Right? Making a little progress day after day. Never being satisfied. And always looking to grow. Since we're talking about growing and becoming better. Kaizen. Continual improvement. Always finding something to work on. To make a little progress. To become better at. But let's get into this thing we was talking about beforehand. We was chopping it up. you said you wanted to touch on courage.
Courage.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, man. Courage. Everything that, in fact, in order to grow, you got to have courage. Because what keeps us from growing is the safety of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Is the fear of failure.
Yes, sir.
Right? So you have to have courage. You got to have courage to love. You got to have courage to try. You got to have courage to fail. You got to have courage to just get in the mix of it.
Talk about
right? it. Right? So for me, I used to didn't have courage to really love. It's almost like I had to know that the person was going to love me back. So I had the fear of rejection.
Talk to the people, man. Talk to the people.
Now,
man.
At this point?
Talk to the people.
At this point,
ain't. Talk to them.
I don't care whether you love me back or not. I'm going to love you anyway. I don't care if I fail, right? Because I got the courage. I have the courage to succeed. Whether I succeed or not, whether we win the chip or not, it doesn't matter. That's why, like what me and B. Simp, Coach Simp at Crawford Long talk about all the time, we always trying something new. Mm. We're never, ever going to do the same thing. And it's got to the point now, we're not going to do the same thing from week to week.
Right.
You know where I got that from? Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich. Right? Because they have the courage to do not care about winning. Mm. They have the courage to grow. They have the courage to improve. You have to have the courage to get better. That is why some people win a chip. They may win another chip because they was talented enough. But when things change, when life change, when things evolve, you got to evolve with it. Now, are you evolving with it? Are you evolving behind it? Or are you evolving in front of it? Mm-hmm. Courage allows you to be ahead of the curve.
Yes, sir.
To evolve in front of anything that you're doing in life. Mm. Whether that's you want to be an entrepreneur, whether that's you being a teacher, whether that's you being a speaker, it doesn't matter.
Yes, sir.
Like right now, y'all looking at this video, you're looking at this podcast. Does it look like last year or 2 years ago when we first did it? No, it does not. Why? Because we have the courage to evolve.
Mm. Talk about it. I love it, man. I love it. Just like when it says good is the enemy of great, the comfort zone is the enemy of courage, right?
Yeah.
The comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. One of my favorite quotes in the world is when it says, courage is not always the loud roar. Sometimes courage is that small voice at the end of the day saying, I'll try again tomorrow. Right, because oftentimes when we look at the world and we process courage to children, courage always thinks and comes in the form of gorilla, right? I'm courageous. I'm a gorilla. Sometimes courage is, bro, you just got your butt beat. Like you just got smacked. You just got knocked out in the seventh round, the ninth. Like you just got, I'm talking about dirt dog. And sometimes courage is, no, bro, I got dirt dog. I'm going to get back in the lab and I'm going to go to work. Like, I love when you talked about courage, the willingness to grow, right? As a speaker, as a presenter, as a communicator, every time I go in the room, I said to a young cat, he was like, how long you been doing what you doing? I said, bro, I'm coming up on year 18, right? He was like, man, you don't even look like you've been doing that. I said, bro, I'm coming up on year 18. And a cat said one day, like, man, like, is it the story? Is it the arm? I was like, bro, I stopped getting business because of my arm a long time ago.
Yeah.
If it was just predicated upon my arm, I probably would have lasted 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe five at the most. But I got the courage as a communicator and as a presenter that when I step in a room, I'm going to try different things. Right? Not the other courage to where I'm fearful and I'm in my comfort zone and I got my story. No, that's cool. That is what it is. But I got the courage to grow as a communicator because I value what I do every single time I step in a room because it's real lives on the other end of those words. Yeah. And I respect that. Understand?
Yeah, you definitely, a person definitely have to have courage if they're going to continue to evolve, right?
Yes, sir.
And like we were talking earlier, you have, life is like a cycle. You either coming out of the wilderness, going into the promised land, or you coming out of the promised land, going into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
right? You know, like I was saying, when you got hurt in high school.
Yeah.
Before that, you were doing it basketball wise. Y'all went to the state playoffs and all of that good stuff. And you got hurt, collarbone, right?
Yep.
Shoulder.
Yep.
All right. Junior year messed up, whatever. Senior year, you balled out. Mm-hmm. So the collarbone was the wilderness. You had to do the rehab, all of that stuff. Yep. Then you came out into the promised land.
Yes, sir.
Which was senior year, got the scholarship to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Working with JA. And you were about to, you know, see more of the promised land.
Absolutely.
Boom. That night happened, September the 9th.
Yeah.
Right? Now we're going back into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Then you come out the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Right? You come out the wilderness. Coming out the wilderness, you alive.
Right. Definitely.
All right? Now we go back into the wilderness. You start this journey of speaking.
Right.
That happens. You got the cup. You know, you didn't really get nothing for the first time speaking. You in the wilderness. You come out the wilderness. Boom, you get a breakthrough. The people start, Inky Johnson, he's great, wonderful, whatever. But like you said, if you would have just stayed right there and in that promised land and not had the courage to go back into the wilderness.
Right.
And get better. Yeah, and go in the lab.
Yeah.
And change and evolve and be creative and new.
Yeah.
Right? Then that would have ended it right there. You'd have just stayed in the wilderness.
Definitely.
So you came out of the promised land.
Definitely.
And you came out of the wilderness into the promised land.
Definitely.
And now, okay, everything's happening. You speaking, all of this, everything's going great. COVID hits.
Mm. Yeah.
Another wilderness.
Yeah.
Boom, you have the idea. I'm going to do serendipity. I'm going to put it, interview these people, you know, all of that. And it has evolved to here.
Yes, sir.
Right? But even with that, we took a year and a half off. Wilderness.
Yeah.
Now we're in the promised land.
Yeah, man.
We're going to go through another wilderness. And definitely, we're going to go through another promised land.
Process.
That is the process. That is the journey of life.
Yeah,
and you have to have the courage to step into each one of them as they happen. Love. Because it's going to keep getting higher and higher and more. It's going to become more. You're going to have more risk.
Yeah.
Right. As you go up the mountain, you go up two steps and you fall. OK, cool. You get to the top of the mountain and you fall. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So just having the courage to go in and out of the promised land and the wilderness.
It's funny you mention that. Like, it's a journey. I got this wrote in my pad. It's a journey of a lifetime. Like, life is a journey. And it talks about how just achievers, high achievers, elite people, like competitors, right? They look at life as a process, as evolution, as a journey. That's how they view things. When they encounter it, they don't just look at the moment as the moment. They look at it as a part of something that can make them even greater. That's how they process problems, opposition, adversity. When things happen, it's not like it's an isolated incident. It's more so the thought process of, this is something, once I get on the other side of it, I have another tool in my arsenal to make me a better person, right? It's just the perspective in how you view life, right? It's a journey. It's a process, right? The evolution. It's all playing a part in making you the individual that you're one day destined to become when it's time to punch the clock and check out. I was telling E earlier, we was talking, and I said, man, like, when it comes to religion and beliefs, like, I got respect for everybody. What they believe is what they believe. I ain't tripping. I said to him, no. I said, if you don't believe there's a God, like, I'm worried for, like, how you're being guided and navigating throughout life. I said, and I'm going to tell you why. I said, man, when I got injured, like, the few years prior to that, my discipleship spiritually, me being interconnected to small groups, like me, my studying, me, my prayer life, all these things. When I got injured, my thought process, my language, all of that was already changing. I know for a fact, I know for a fact, if my injury would have happened and the prior 2 years of development didn't happen, y'all wouldn't know Ink right now. Like, the world wouldn't know this version of me. I could say that for a fact, right? Because I wouldn't have processed it the same way. I wouldn't have viewed it the same way. I wouldn't have spoke about what happened to me the same way. But prior to the injury, 2 years, it was almost as if I was just in the lab, mentally getting prepared. So when the injury happened and people viewed it as a tragedy, I looked at it as an opportunity. Like, I didn't even look at it as a tragedy. Like, when people would be like, man, like, this is something. I didn't even, like, it didn't even cross my mind. Was I hurt? Of course. Right? One of the toughest, most challenging periods of my life. But every single day I got up, it wasn't wallowing in my sorrow. And if you do, that's cool. I'm just telling you how I processed it because of what happened prior to the moment, which speaks to the point of me and viewing life as a journey, right? Evolution, process. That's how I view it, man. And so I love that you said it's a journey. It's the journey of a lifetime. Like, when you encounter things, don't just view it as an isolated incident. Assess it. When you get to a place of peace, look at it and see, man, when I get on the other side of this, how can this make me a better person? Right? How can this make me a better father? I was in a room doing COVID in St. Louis. I said, I get it, man. We're dealing with a real situation, real issue. Man, I get it. I said, but can somebody share with me something that they're grateful for? Lady stands up and says, man, I'm grateful. I get to speak to my mama every single day in Japan. If my schedule was the same, I never would get the opportunity to do that. Gentleman stands up in the back of the room, traps up to his ears, look like he's supposed to be casted in the movie 300. My man bawling, the room quiet. I'm talking about you can hear a pin drop. My man crying in the midst of his tears. Oak, he said, I'm grateful I got to watch my first child being born. If my schedule was the same, I never would have gotten the opportunity to witness that moment. He said, what's something you grateful for, Ink? I said, bro, I'm grateful for 3 p.m. He said, why 3 p.m.? I said, most days I get to be in the carpool line picking my children up from school.
Yes, sir.
He was like, the carpool line? I was like, no doubt. I'm a competitor. I be racing cats in the carpool line. They be waving at me. I be racing to be first. You know what I'm saying? I said, the carpool line, but not the carpool line. It's more so about trained optimism and not fantasy land. Can I look at situations, circumstances, and encounters and figure out what's the good in it? That's it. Like, just looking at it and saying, man, what's the good in this? Everybody can look at a situation and say, man, that's terrible. Man, that's horrible. Man, that's a whole, anybody can do that. Everybody more than likely is gonna do that. But very few people are wired and willing to look at a situation and say, bro, this is some BS. I don't like this at all. This don't feel good to me at all. I don't like him at all. What's the good in it, right? And so processing life, man, as a journey. Every stage, every phase, it's a journey that's leading to something that one day I venture to say that you're going to get to a place to where when you go through something, you're going to look back on that moment that you encountered that you didn't like, and you're going to say, man, you know what? I didn't like that. That didn't feel good, but I'm grateful for that today. Because of the man that I now am, because of the woman that I now, because of the father, because of the brother, because of the team member, because of the leader. It's a cycle. It's a journey. It's a process. Embrace it. Most importantly, respect it. Yeah. I got some for us. Oak, the land is plain, baby.
Yes, sir.
I got some for us. The land is plain. The word I want to land a plane where Oak talked to us about. This thing called focus. Focus.
When I hear focus, I hear the word focus and think about the word focus. It's not so much of what you want to put your focus on, but your ability to eliminate the distractions.
I like that. Say that again. Oh, tell them
it's not about,
I like that.
Because, you know, I can focus on something and I still can be distracted, right? Yesterday, I was in a...
That's a fact.
I was in a professional development about coaching mathematics, right? So we in there, and it was a great professional development. And when the presenter was saying something very poignant, I pulled out my Sudoku book.
Yeah.
Right? Because when I'm really focused and I can really hear is when I'm doing Sudoku. But if I'm just listening to somebody talk,
yeah,
right, the distractions be coming. So I have strategies to eliminate the distractions in order to focus. So you have to create and understand who you are as a person. How do you How do you eliminate your distractions? Then now your focus is going to, just by the process of elimination, increase. So that's the whole point of being able to maximize who you are, what it is you're trying to do, what your goals are in life. Eliminate the distractions.
Yes, sir.
So then what you do naturally, what you're good at, what your purpose is, what your gift is, will come to fruition. That's focus.
Picking it up. Picking it up. If you can learn to focus, it can become a superpower, man.
Yeah.
Keep the main thing the main thing. That's it. Keep the main thing the main thing. Appreciate your time. Peace. Serendipity, man. Tune in.